7. And I'll just read from there. I'll let you be seated. I've got a couple of more readings that we'll look at, but I'll be merciful and let you sit down after this first reading in Matthew 7 and verse number 7. This is in what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is talking to his disciples here. Three chapters, 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew are just basically red letters. Many things covered. I like this in verse 7, chapter 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For some of those that ask. Are you guys not going to keep me honest today? You're like, what version are you reading? For Jesus said, everyone, everybody say everyone. Everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful anointing and your spirit that is in this place today. We ask you, Lord, that you would, your will would be done, that you would continue to move and touch every heart. God, stir us. Help us, Lord, to see souls saved and to see saints stirred and to see the seed of your word planted firmly in our hearts is our prayer. And we give you the glory and we give you the praise for your mighty anointing. Oh, let's give the Lord one more hand clap of praise before we go down. And I don't know if you've already greeted somebody around you, but find somebody you haven't said hello or praise the Lord to and just tell them how glad you are to be in the house of the Lord with them today. Amen. Give them a good old firm handshake in Jesus' name. And you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. They call it sometimes the nation's attic, for its eclectic holdings of 154 million items. The Smithsonian Institute's 19 museums and 21 libraries and 9 research centers and a zoo include historical and architectural landmarks mostly located in Washington, D.C. How many's ever been to the Smithsonian Institute? Many of you, I'm sure, have. I've been there. It's been a while. The collection, the Smithsonian's collection, represent our nation's shared history, art from across the globe, and the immense diversity of the natural and cultural world. The scope of objects in the Smithsonian collection, it's staggering, from ancient Chinese bronzes to the first Star-Spangled Banner, from old fossils to the Apollo lunar landing module, from the ruby slippers that are featured in The Wizard of Oz to presidential memorabilia. Scholars and scientific researchers at the Smithsonian and around the world use these vast collections in their research to expand human knowledge. You can see things there like, as I already mentioned, the original Star-Spangled Banner. I think that's pretty cool. Thomas Jefferson's desk. You can see the an old gear and lever voting machine. Wow, that goes back. Nothing like today. You can see Christie Yamaguchi's skates. Anybody? Anybody Olympic skate fans? No, not here. But you can see her skates from the 1990s. Anybody from the 1990s? They have Mr. Rogers' sweater and shoes from the 1980s. Mm-hmm. Poor Christy Yamaguchi, bested by Mr. Rogers. At least here she is. They have First Lady's memorabilia from several of the First Ladies throughout the years. Abraham Lincoln's hat is there. Washington's uniform is there. There's a fragment of the Berlin Wall. That's just a few of the millions of artifacts that are on display there and the archives there. No wonder they call it the nation's attic. And I got to thinking, if God had a museum, what might be in his museum? In 2 Kings, we read about Elisha, who was the successor of Elijah, who asked for a double portion, and he got it of Elijah's anointing and his spirit. And the Bible records twice as many miracles at the hand of Elisha than that of Elijah. I really do believe that we last day believers will see more mind-blowing, jaw-dropping miracles, more answers to prayers, more powerful revivals. I believe we are blessed with the double portion. I believe that this latter rain mantle is loaded with power and anointing. I think we're going to see more than the early church ever saw. I mean, we see it almost every week somewhere around the world. We hear of these revivals and these crusades and these things, maybe not here locally, but around the world somewhere, where maybe thousands and thousands. And the most we ever read about in the book of Acts, and we shout about it, is 5,000 in a day. We don't read about 20,000, 30,000. And so you say, well, you mean it wasn't powerful back then? Oh, it was very powerful. But Jesus said to his disciples, greater works than these shall you do. He did not mean they would be more dynamic or more special. He simply meant that when Jesus was here on earth, he was one man. It was in one body. So he could only be in one place at a time. But he said, I'm going to send my comforter. And he filled his church with the gift of the Holy Ghost. So now the potential is however many people have been born again, have been filled with the Holy Ghost, we walk around with that anointing in us. Come on now. So that we can pray all around the world and see miracles all around the world. Right now, in this very moment, we could see the move of God sweep across the globe. And we hear it all the time, missionaries and crusaders going around the world, 10,000 receiving it here, 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 baptized in a week or whatever. It's just, I'm telling you, we are going to see, we are not taking a back seat to the book of Acts church. We just aren't. He was talking to us when he said greater works. He was talking to the New Testament church. The truth of the matter is, hell is quite scared of us. The problem is, too many of us don't have the faith to act like hell is scared of us. And so if we're not careful, we get bullied by somebody who doesn't really have the authority to bully us. The devil should not be pushing around Christians. The church should be giving orders to hell. For my Bible says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And so he can't have his way with the church. Come on now. We declare it. Thy kingdom come, Lord. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The devil thinks he reigns on earth, but no, not as long as the church is alive and well. We have dominion. And this is what I would like to preach to you today. It's time that we stand up and act like who we are. I mean, walk like who we are and talk like who we are. I don't mean that we need to be arrogant or pompous. I don't mean that, or even pious. And I certainly don't mean judgmental. We're all that. We got the truth. No, I don't mean that. I simply mean that when it comes to the kingdom of hell coming against the church, we just need to start pointing our finger in the face of the devil and say, devil, I've got scripture that says, if I resist you, you must flee from me. If I rebuke you, you've got to go in Jesus' name. If I tell you to get behind me, you've got to go in Jesus' name. Come on, don't let the devil push you around. Don't let the devil drag you down. Don't let the devil dictate your life. You've got authority. You've got power in the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 3:20 says, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. We love to quote that scripture, and it's a good one when we talk about the power of the Lord and that he's able, he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. If we can ask it, it's too small. If we can think it, it's too small, because he can do exceeding abundantly above that. But it doesn't stop there. It says according to the power that worketh in us. And so we can limit a powerless God. If we are faithless, it renders a powerful God less effective. What he's going to do, he's going to do by working in us. Matthew 17, 19, just giving you a few scriptures, build your faith. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart. They said, why couldn't we cast him out? They're trying to cast out a devil without Jesus. And Jesus said, because your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, watch this. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now we know historically, we know that in Jesus' day, I know we like to think this means speaking to a physical mountain and it being removed, and God's certainly powerful enough to do that, but the reference here is in those days, kings might order landscape to be changed. If they didn't like a certain landscape, they might just decree, that mountain, I want it to be moved. They would start working and digging and move hills and mountains. They'd just throw them into the sea. Some people say you can find that dirt in some of the seas around the world where they just moved certain hills and mountains. I don't know if that's exactly. I could see that's what Jesus is talking about, that we don't have to work. We don't have to toil. All we've got to do is speak it in Jesus' name, and things that are in our way have to be moved. I don't see there's any need for us to speak to the Smoky Mountains or the Appalachian Mountains to be moved, but we can say to our issues that seem like mountains to us, in the name of Jesus, sickness, I command you to just go jump in a lake, go be cast into the sea. Doubt and fear and anxiety and depression and family problems and marital issues, job situations, those things that seem insurmountable, he's able to move those things out of your way. You speak to it in the name of Jesus. He said you could just say to the mountain, remove and be cast into the sea, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. Nothing. Elisha got so popular, he had such a following, they wanted to relocate and expand. And so he takes his followers, you can read it in 2 Kings 6, we're not going there, but you can read it around verse 3, where they're just doing the work of the Lord, and somebody comes and says, hey, this place is not big enough for all of us anymore, so let's go down here and we'll build us a dwelling there, and we'll build some houses and whatever, some cabins. And so somebody wants to help out. He doesn't have an axe, so he goes to a neighbor, he borrows an axe, and he comes and she shows up to help. There he is. It's a simple little story, but it's powerful, because the Bible says as he's cutting down a tree, the axe head fell off and it went into the Jordan River. It was beyond hope. He couldn't retrieve it, and he's upset about it. Not only because it's borrowed, that's one thing, but also he couldn't do any more work. And so he says to Elisha, what am I going to do? It was borrowed. You've all read this story, I'm sure. Elisha just says, well, where did it fall? Where did it go in? He showed him the place. Elisha cut down a stick. He waved the stick over that area. And the Bible has this very powerful phrase. It says, and the iron did swim. Wow. The iron did swim. I've preached on that many times. I won't have time to go into all the little details there. But just the word swim instead of float is pretty powerful. It animates an inanimate object. It's as though the Lord could speak to anything and tell it what to do, and it has to do it. It's as though the Lord didn't just say, I want you to float, because if it had floated, then it would have just floated up to wherever it went in. But the Bible says it did swim. So it came up to a certain place. When you swim, how many know how to swim? How many know, I can't swim, I don't know, I'd probably drown. But I know there's a difference between floating and swimming. When you swim with a purpose. You're going someplace. And so the Lord spoke to an inanimate object that should not even be able to float, and told it not only to come to the surface, but he told it where to come to the surface, so that all the man had to do was reach out and take it back. And the iron with purpose did swim. I just want to tell you that God is able to speak to your impossible situations and tell them exactly what to do and where to go. He can say to a tumor, you come out of that body. He can say to depression, come out of her mind and go someplace else. He can say to fear and anxiety, you get out of there and you go over there. And the iron did swim. Yes. The iron did swim. It was borrowed. He couldn't work. It was out of his reach. The water was laughing at him. But when the man of God exercised faith, the iron did swim. That axe head, boy, that'd be hard to return that, wouldn't it? When you got done with that axe head, that'd be hard to take it back to whoever you borrowed it from. You'd be like, man, you hit a good shot on the golf course, and I know people that will take that ball and put it up on a shelf. Got a special little spot with, you know, for it. People that throw touchdowns in football, they want to put that bronze, that football, basketballs, and sweatbands off of famous basketball players. That's nasty, but people save that kind of stuff. They want their sweaty old shirts, all that kind of stuff. But an axe head that was beyond being retrieved, and it swam. Who wants to give that back? I mean, I bet the man said, man, I buy this from you. Please just let me have this because I've got a special place. I want to put this thing. Every time I feel like something is hopeless, I'm going to walk over there. I'm going to look at that axe head. Every time I feel like something is beyond my control, and I wish there was something that I could do, and my faith seems to be wavering, and fear begins to come in, and hopelessness seems to be attacking my mind, I'm going to walk over to that shelf, and I'm going to take that axe head down, and I'm going to remember the day that I couldn't do anything, but the man of God spoke over an impossible situation, and that which should not swim came swimming back into my life. Oh, give God praise if you got any axe heads in your life. Things that shouldn't have happened, but God moved. Things that were beyond your hope and control, but God stepped in. So I'm thinking about this. If God has an attic, or if God has a museum, what kind of things would be there? I suppose there'd be things there, things that we don't think about. I bet you there would be on display somewhere in God's museum a cup. And when you begin to look, and you know, when you go to museums, everybody has different ways of going through museums. You talk to some people, how long should I give myself to look at this museum? Some people will say, oh, you need the whole day. You talk to other people, oh, you can get through there in about 30 minutes. It's the way they look at museums. Some of us have ADD. We don't read every little inscription on every little archive. Amen? We're going to go, if it's me, I'm going right to the Star Spangled Banner. I'm going to look at it. I'm going to read about that. I probably won't look at the skates. And I'll probably glance at the ruby slippers. But some people would go over there and read every piece of information about that lady skates, and they'd read everything. Oh, look at this. They'd want selfies with the ruby slippers. That's just how people are different. But if you were to be one of those people that took time to read the information, you could read as you look at that cup that doesn't look like much, just an old beat-up tin cup, but you'd read something like, this is the cup of a man who was lame from his mother's womb. And every day they would take and set him by this the temple gate, and he rattled this cup, and you see it's rusty and it's all beat up, and if you look inside you'll see the telltale signs of many coins that have been dropped in that cup through the years. And he rattled that cup every day of his life, and then one day he didn't need the beggar's cup anymore. This man was healed of his lame legs. Peter and John prayed for him. You read on, you see, oh, and he leaped to his feet. His ankle bones received strength. He went leaping, running and leaping into the temple, praising God. Wow. I'd want to take a picture of that. if you go on down, you'd see maybe an old garment all beat up, like it's been worn, sweat through. And you read the inscription, this belonged to a man named Bartimaeus. He was blind, couldn't see. It's a beggar's garment. It identified him as somebody who could not work for a living. And he was at the mercy of those passing by. And it identified him as being unable to see. And so for many years, he was blind and wore this garment. And then one day, Jesus passed by and he cried out, Jesus, the Son of Mercy, the Son of David, have mercy on me. And many of them tried to tell him, be quiet, don't bother the master, don't bother Jesus. And he cried out even more. And Jesus went to him and said, what is it that you would have me do? He said, oh, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus healed him. When they called for him to come to Jesus, he took and cast this garment off. And somebody picked it up and brought it to the God's museum. I don't know. I'm just using my imagination that maybe some angels come by every once in a while and gather up little tin cups and old beggar's garments and maybe a paralyzed man's empty cot that was let down through a big hole in the roof. And maybe there would be a picture in God's museum of a street corner where a prostitute named Mary used to stand. Empty cots and dropped cups and forsaken beggar's garments and vacated street corners. Canes and walkers. I thought about if some of us were in God's museum. I thought about Sister Joyce, your walker and your cane could be in God's museum because she walks. But that she kept saying, I'm not going to need this forever. I'm going to get rid of this. I said, when you get rid of it, bring it. We want to put it up here for a while. It sat up here for quite a while. The cane, the walker, the cane. I suppose you walked in here today under your own power. You got your cane today, but you got rid of that walker, didn't you? Yeah. So God's going to deliver you of the cane in Jesus' name. Amen. I suppose we could have Sister Linda, Sylvia. I don't know. She's on vacation. So I suppose we could have a lot of things from her. But that, remember she gave the testimony about her eye medication that they stopped making. And she said, what am I going to do? And she didn't know what she's going to do. And she went to the doctor. And the doctor took her by the hand and said, Linda, what was the condition? Does anybody remember? Was it glaucoma? He said, Linda, you don't have glaucoma. You don't have it anymore. And so she said, I prayed. She said, I prayed on the way there. He will tell me I don't even need medication that I'm healed. And the doctor told, I suppose we could see a bottle of that medication sitting somewhere in God's museum. That would be the inscription there. And I thought about David Killian's x-ray from where he had his gallbladder removed, but there was a mass and they had to take a biopsy of the mass, and we all prayed and we prayed, and finally he got the good news that it is not cancer, and that x-ray and that doctor's report could be on display in God's museum. Brother David Motter texted me the other day and he said, Brother Hawkins, after I went to the ER and he testified a couple of weeks ago that he had gone with chest pains and all the tests said it wasn't his heart. And he texted me the other day and he said, hey, I didn't tell you, but the doctor, the cardiologist, wanted me to come back for a stress test and to read that. He said he brought me back in. He read my stress test. He said, there's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with your heart. Everything looks good. I suppose that the results of your stress test would be in God's museum. While we're talking about David's, Brother David Vadas's results would be in God's museum when he was worried about kidney cancer and this kind of cancer, this kind of disease. And God knew all along what was going on and touched his body and healed him. And his doctor's report, David Motter and David Killian and David Vadas and whoever other Davids I know are in this place that God has moved and touched and healed and delivered. Come on now, though, you would be in God's museum. Doctors' reports and job offers and anniversary cards of people that should have been divorced. Look at this anniversary card, God might say. Well, what's so significant about that? Oh, you don't understand. They were ready to split up. In 2020, they almost split up. All the stress of life almost took them out, but I moved in their life. And in 2021, he wrote her the sweetest little message on this anniversary card. Gentlemen, you ought to do that. You could be in God's museum. Birthday cards. So every time I think about Sister Ashley, the boss daughter, I think about her birthday, and I realize she's a miracle. She's just born very premature, back in the days where premature babies didn't survive, and especially when they were as premature as she was, and the church prayed, and God moved. And so every birthday card of Ashley Thomas could be in God's museum. Totaled cars. Sister Gunderman, your car could be in God's museum. Anybody ever been in a car wreck that totaled the car? Look at there, look at there, look at there. You think it's just an old junkyard, but that's God's museum. Anybody seen the video floating around on Facebook right now of the car laying on its top with the guardrail going right through? It looks like a magician's illusion trick. The guardrail goes right through the driver's side, all the way through the front, all the way to the back, and that daddy is sitting there with tears and trembling voice explaining how his daughter was driving and should be dead, but God kept his hand on his daughter. I guarantee you that car would be in God's museum. Yes, yes, yes. And that's just the physical side. I mean, baptismal certificates, and Holy Ghost certificates, and Holy Ghost birthdays, and all of the things that God has done for you spiritually. Time, there are some things that wouldn't be so obvious, like when God delivered you from anxiety. Some of us, maybe some people thought about ending their own life, and God did some miraculous work, and maybe some people were so bound by fear and anxiety. Maybe some people were bound by habits and addictions and things that maybe we don't think are displayable, but I guarantee you in God's museum, those things are on display. I know that, I don't know where God stands on Facebook. I really don't. I've never bothered to ask him, to be honest with you. Some of you think it's of the devil, and some of you think it's wonderful. But if God did Facebook, I just want to tell you, your pictures would be all over his feed. You know these parents that, I mean, they just blow up your, what do they call it, your feed or your story or whatever. You know these parents, every day there's about 100 pictures. Hey, look at what my baby's doing today. Oh, he's 38. Look at him. Oh, he's just... My baby. Pray he gets a job. But you know what I'm talking about. They're the ones you just kind of, oh, there they are again. Snooze them for another 30 days, you know. But God would do that with you if he did Facebook. Your pictures would be all over his feed. Look at what this one. This one came to me and prayed, and I met their need. Look, here they are. Here they are. They're in church on Sunday morning when the devil tried to take them out, and they held on to their faith, and they held on to their integrity, and here they are still serving me. You'd be like Job. Hey, have you considered my servant Job? He'd put Job on Facebook. He would put you on Facebook. He would post about you. I mean, he would break the internet showing off his children. That's what he thinks about you. That's how much he loves you. Amen. I guess I'm just reminding us. If you go to the Smithsonian and walk through the Smithsonian, you might have walked in there not feeling very nostalgic or very patriotic, but I can almost guarantee that after you lay eyes on the first ever Star-Spangled Banner, then you come over here and you see old Abraham Lincoln's hat. You come over here and you see Thomas Jefferson's desk. I don't think they have the Declaration of Independence in the Smithsonian. I think I was trying to figure that out. It's somewhere. But if you laid eyes on that, and is it? No. But you would come out of there. You might have went in not feeling very nostalgic, but you'd come out of there thinking, man, what a great nation we are. What a great country we are. Man, if you think about it, I know we forget sometimes because we have our issues and problems and all we ever hear is the bad news. But if you think about how young we are and how blessed we are, we might have our problems, and we might fight a lot. But we're still one nation under God. And the atheists haven't changed that yet. As long as the church is here, I don't believe they're going to change that. We're kind of in the way of some of this progressive stuff. We just kind of stand stubbornly in the way. Until Jesus takes us out, that's the way it's going to be. But we're blessed. And I see that kind of stuff, and I think I come out of there feeling more patriotic, feeling more nostalgic. It's the same way in the kingdom of God. When I'm walking in this walk, I just get bombarded with daily stuff, daily texts. I mean, here we are in this day where everybody has instant access to us all the time. As soon as something bad happens around the world. Brother GB, I still thank you for my watch. It's a gift from GB, an Apple Watch. I love so many things about it. One thing I've got to change is every time there's an earthquake, my watch goes, there's an earthquake. Somebody was murdered. Donald Trump doesn't like Joe Biden. Joe Biden doesn't like Donald Trump. I don't need my watch to tell me all that stuff. I don't even know all that. This person's losing, that person's winning, this is going on, oh, inflation, every time, you know, just that's our world. Whether you have it on your wrist or in your pocket or on a screen, it's just instant, constant. And then that's just national stuff and world stuff. Don't even get into your local stuff, your friends and your neighbors and your family and all these things. And I'm not unique. My wife's not unique. Just so you know, we're all dealing with stuff. So if we're not careful, we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and that's all we think about. But David didn't stop about it. He didn't just mention the valley of the shadow of death. He went on to say, though I do, I will not fear, because the Lord is with me. The Lord is with me. Stand with me if you would. So I came to encourage you today and remind you that sometimes we need to get our eyes off of all the problems . Somebody was talking to me yesterday. I know they've been under a lot of burdens and stresses and things just weighing on their minds. I've been praying for them, and I asked them yesterday afternoon, how you doing? Doing better and feeling better. They said, earlier in the day, I just got by myself. And get this, because we forget this sometimes. So I just got by myself and I prayed. And I wept before God. And that scripture had already been rattling around in my mind, but when they said that to me, I thought it came back to me where the Bible says that to cast all your cares on That's different from just talking about them. That's different from just asking for somebody to pray for you about them. It really is. That's wonderful. To ask people to pray for you is important. But I'm going to tell you this. It does nobody any good to pray for you if you're not going to take those things and cast them on the Lord. We can pray for peace for you all day long. Peace will not come until you cast it on the Lord. So I just want to point you today. I know we're under a lot of stresses and things. And folks, can I just tell you, everything around us is pointing to the soon return of Jesus Christ. I'm not taking time today to point to you all the things going on around the world that are signs of his coming. I mean, you know what they are. You don't need me to tell you that prophecies being fulfilled before our very eyes. And in these last days, the devil's going to do his best to discourage us, distract us, get us off mission. Be careful about that. I told our ministry team the other night, we had a ministers meeting. I said, you guys need to be very careful right now that you don't get distracted by things in this world. I'm praying for people in this church that I know there are things trying to take their eyes off of what's the most important, which is to seek first the kingdom. All this other stuff, if it's temporal, you better not put that before the kingdom. Oh, I wish I had more than two, that's right, and one amen. Do you still believe that? If it's temporal, it doesn't go before the kingdom. That stuff's going to burn, rust, melt away. When Jesus comes, those temporal things aren't going to matter too much to you. When you're drawing your last breath, those things aren't going to matter to you too much. So seek ye first the kingdom of God. Come on, stay focused here. And I want to redirect your attention to the museum today and remind you that whatever you're going through right now, God's healed you before. He's going to heal you again. God's moved before. He's going to move again. Remember when he did that? Well, if he did that, he's going to do this. If you got that doctor's report, then you're going to get, God's going to move now. If God did it for David and David and David and David, he's going to do it for you. Believe that, say amen. Come on, I want to invite us to come around the front of the church today. Let's spend a little time talking to Jesus on your knees or on your feet, however you choose to do it. Come on, as many of you as can. Move, at least move. If you don't come all the way to the front, move out of your chair. Move out of your seat. Yeah, I want you to nudge your neighbor in the ribs and say, he's talking to us. Come on, move. Everybody in the house, come on, Sister Margie, move. Come on, Brother Moose, move. Come on, move, at least move up a row. Move from where you are. Come on, let's talk to Jesus a little bit. There's something to be said for moving. Let the Lord bless you. Let the Lord speak to you. Let the Lord encourage you. God, I'm praying over your people today in the name of Jesus. God, for you to move in their lives, move in their hearts. Oh, God, we know if you've done it before, you're going to do it again. You didn't bring us this far to leave us. You've answered so many prayers for us before. You've delivered us so many times before. You've healed our bodies so many times before. You've moved in family situations so many times before. You've healed our minds and our spirits. And if you did it then, we know you're going to do it now. Why don't you find somebody around you, begin to pray and minister to them. Would you do that? Pray for one another in the name of Jesus. Encourage one another in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, you're special to the Lord. Casting all your cares on him, for he careth for you. He careth for you. You're his child. You are his people. He really loves you. He really cares. Kayaboboro tasia la takas. Yiroboboro tasia la mamanande. Come on, that's it. Pray till you feel heaven. Pray till you feel a touch. Pray till you feel the Spirit of God move. In the name of Jesus, somebody pray an authoritative prayer. I speak it in Jesus' name. I speak healing. I speak deliverance. Yes, that's it. Yes, when you speak Jesus, it happens. If you ask, you shall receive. If you seek, you're going to find. If you knock, it's going to be opened. He's able to do abundantly above all that you ask or think. Come on, you speak to the mountain, it has to move. Oh, nothing is impossible unto you. In Jesus' name, be healed today. In Jesus' name, be delivered today. In Jesus' name, be set free today. Hallelujah. Come on, let's spend a little bit of time worshiping Him right now. Praising Him right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
My God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. Heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weakened. Forever He will reign.
Let's sing it together.
My God is awesome. Is why I'm living. Praise His holy name. My God is awesome. Awesome.
You believe that today? Sing it.
Awesome.
Yes, He is.
Awesome. My God is awesome. Awesome.
Great.
He's great. He's great. He's great.